is the greatest time in all of human history to be alive. There are more opportunities and possibilities for you to achieve great success in virtually any field that you enjoy than there have ever been since man first walked the earth. One of your supreme goals must be to live to be 80 or 90 years old, or even longer if you wish, so that you can enjoy the very most that life has to offer, for the very longest possible time. Your goal must be to enjoy excellent health throughout your lifetime, enjoying high levels of energy, vitality, freedom from pain, illness, and disease of any kind. Your goal should be to feel terrific about yourself most of the time, and the time to start is now. What is interesting about goals is that people will often set goals for themselves in the areas of money, career, weight, personal development, houses, cars, and clothes. But people very seldom set goals for exactly how long they want to live and what standard of health they want to enjoy throughout their lives. They sort of take the whole issue of health and longevity for granted. Nonetheless, when you think about it, it doesn't matter if you accomplish everything you could dream of in the material world and then die years younger than you really should. The good news is that most of the life-threatening diseases that kept the average lifespan to 52 years as recently as the year 1900 have been eliminated or brought under control. Today, longevity is very much a matter of choice. How long you live is largely up to you. Barring some unforeseen circumstances or unforeseen medical problems, you can decide today to live a long and healthy life. There are tens of thousands of men and women today who have passed the magic 100-year mark, and their number is growing at an incredible rate. You should resolve to be one of them. According to the insurance companies, your life expectancy is two-thirds of the distance between your current age and the number 100. This means that if you are 40 years old today, two-thirds of the distance between your current age and 100 is 40 additional years. Your life expectancy would then be 80 years of age. Your goal must be to at least meet, if not beat, the averages. As it happens, very few people are well informed about health, nutrition, stress management, and long life. Even though the books, magazines, and newspapers are full of articles on the subject, only a small number of people keep up to date with what is happening in health and nutrition. The greatest breakthroughs in all of medical history have taken place in the last few decades in our understanding of how your system works and how you can operate your mind and body so that it performs like a well-oiled machine decade after decade. The starting point of health, energy, fitness, and long life is for you to sit down with a piece of paper and set a clear written goal to live to be 80 or 90 years old. Write it in the present tense, something like this. I am 80 years of age, in superb health, fit, trim, flexible, and in full possession of all my faculties. I feel happy, I feel healthy, I feel terrific. You then apply our goal-setting process to this objective, and you determine exactly what you are going to do to get from where you are today to where you want to be. You make a list of all the obstacles, both internal and external, that might interfere with your reaching a ripe old age. You make a list of all of the additional knowledge, information, and skills, particularly those with regard to exercise and stretching, that you will need to acquire to reach your goal. Especially, you will have to become extremely knowledgeable about vitamins, minerals, fats, carbohydrates, proteins, and other nutritional essentials. You make a list of the people, groups, and organizations whose assistance you will require to achieve your goal. Especially, you will need to arrange regular medical checkups with qualified doctors who are capable today of detecting problems years before you actually begin to experience discomfort from them. Most people who die young from various diseases could have been saved if the diseases had been detected well enough in advance. You then take all of the ingredients necessary to achieve your goal of long life and work them into a plan of action that you follow every day, every week, every month, and every year. You determine exactly how much you want to weigh, exactly what foods you will eat and not eat, what exercises you will do and how often you will do them, what medical checkups you will get and when you will get them, and every other part of your physical life. You may join a health club, a diet club, and sign up for regular checkups at a particular clinic. You may decide to change some of your health habits and begin doing more of some things and less of others. In any case, with a plan, you have a track to run on. And the more you follow your plan repeatedly, the more likely it is that you will develop all of the habits that will virtually assure that you'll have a long and happy life. Here's an important point. In a company, the most valuable asset the company has is called executive thinking time. The importance of anything can be determined by the likely consequences or potential impact of that factor or activity. Executive thinking time and the decisions that emerge from solving problems and making decisions, setting strategy and deciding tactics, have the greatest potential long-term impact on the future of the business and on everyone who works in the business. The very best companies have people who think better than the other companies. The better you think in each area of your life, the better you perform and the better results you get. Since you become what you think about, what you think about and how you think about it are the most important and decisive factors that determine everything that happens to you. With regard to your levels of health and energy, the better care you take of yourself, the more calm, positive, creative, and effective is your thinking. This is why you often do your very best thinking and come up with your very best ideas and make your very best decisions after a holiday, a vacation, or a period of rest. Many people find that they dramatically improve the quality of their lives by taking more time off. By taking more time off, they create more opportunities for high-quality thinking time, the impact of which dramatically affects their lives, their careers, and their incomes. And so should you. In the middle of the century, in the 1950s, as the effect of the mind on the body was studied, experts began to suggest that as much as 50% of a person's health was caused by the way they thought. This became known as psychosomatic medicine. Psycho, the mind, affected as soma, the body. This claim was greeted by a lot of skepticism and considerable ridicule from the medical establishment at that time. In the 60s and 70s, as the mind-body relationship was studied more intensively, the experts began raising the percentages to 60% and 70%, agreeing that the mind had a greater impact on overall health than had first been thought. Today, senior members of the major medical associations generally agree that fully 80% of all physical problems are psychological in origin. Some doctors say that as many as 95% of all the ailments that you suffer are caused by your thinking. There are entire books, even libraries, on holistic medicine that show the connection between a particular way of thinking, for example, rigidity and inflexibility, and a particular way of feeling, such as arthritis or stiffness in the joints. Everything from headaches, colds, and flus, right up to heart attacks, strokes, and cancer, have been found to have some origins in thought. Many people say that you can think yourself sick and you can think yourself well again. We can safely use the 80-20 rule when thinking and talking about your health. 80% of your health comes from your thinking, and only 20% or less of your health is determined by your actual physical habits. Of course, the way you think affects your physical habits, so they are inextricably intertwined. The way you think about food and exercise determines how much you eat and how much exercise you get. If you change your thinking about these factors, you change your behavior in each one of them. One thing we know is that everyone wants to enjoy high levels of health and vitality, and our current level of energy and feelings of physical well-being are perhaps the most important measure of how well we are doing with our lives. There are 7 physical keys to high levels of health, energy, and vitality. These 7 keys have been discovered and rediscovered hundreds and thousands of times and are backed up by decades of the most intensive research and experimentation. Here they are. The first is proper diet. Just as you become what you think about, you become what you eat as well. Eating a proper diet requires that you eat more fruits, more vegetables, more whole grain cereals, and more lean source protein. One rule says that since your body is 70% water, you should eat foods that are at least 70% water as well. This means more fruits and more vegetables. The brighter the color of the fruits and vegetables, by the way, the more vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients they contain. The more fruits and vegetables you eat, the lighter you feel, and the better your entire system functions, like a well-oiled machine. Complex carbohydrates, such as whole grain products with wheat and bran, are also full of nutrients. They have a positive effect on your system and on your elimination. They are light in your stomach, and they keep your head and mind clear after eating. Another element of proper diet is lean source protein. More and more, nutritional specialists have focused on high levels of fat as a major problem lying at the root of many health problems, including obesity, constipation, fatigue, depression, and general weakness. The very act of eliminating most fats from your diet will dramatically improve your level of health and energy in a very short period of time. Lean source protein includes fish, chicken, prime cuts of meat, the whites of eggs, low-fat yogurt, soy products, and other foods that contain the essential proteins or amino acids that you need to repair and build cell tissue. When you combine lean source protein with raw or lightly cooked vegetables, you begin eating in what is called the zone, where you have high levels of energy, your mind is clear, and you actually lose weight. This combination of high-quality vegetables and lean source protein has been called the fat-burning diet, because you feel great about yourself and you actually become thinner at the same time. There are a series of medical studies that have come to the conclusion that you can have what they call under-eating without undernourishment. By eating less food but better food, you can be slim and trim simultaneously with high levels of energy and vitality. You can eat less food but better food, and as a result, improve the entire functioning of your body. The second key to personal physical energy requires that you eliminate the three white poisons that are so common in most people's diet. These are white sugar, white salt, and white flour. You can actually transform your sense of physical well-being within 24 hours by simply eliminating all three from your diet. When you try it, you'll be amazed, and for good reason. White sugar, white salt, and white flour are all what is called inert substances. This means that they contain no food value at all. No vitamins, no minerals, no proteins, nothing that does your body any good. They are filler foods that fill your stomach and kill your appetite for other foods, but they do you no good. The reason that sugar and salt are so popular in most of the foods sold in stores and supermarkets is simple. In order to manufacture a food and put it in a can or package, the manufacturers have to be sure that the food will not go bad or rot. Both sugar and salt actually kill the food so that there is nothing to go bad. The food can then be manufactured and remain on store shelves for long periods of time without spoiling because it's dead already. The more fresh and natural the food is, the less sugar and salt it contains. The more canned and packaged the fruit is, the more salt and sugar make up its basic ingredients. A regular soft drink contains about 8 tablespoons of sugar. A can of soup contains several tablespoons of salt. The next time you go shopping, read the ingredients on the side of the package. You will be astonished to find out how many low-quality fats, sugars, and salts are contained in the vast majority of foods, especially junk foods. Most potato chips, for example, are almost completely fat and salt, holding a thin wafer of potato and stopping it from going bad in the package. When you eliminate salt and sugar from your diet, you'll still get plenty from a variety of other sources, but you will begin to feel better almost immediately. The third white poison, white flour, is popular because it looks good. At one time, all bread was made from rough ground wheat flour and was full of nutrients of all kinds. But then, somebody came up with a way to refine flour and take all the nutrients out of it. This white flour, which found its way into white bread, white rolls, and every other form of bread that is made with white flour, looked far more healthy and attractive than the rough, dark bread that was so healthy. When people started to realize that there was no nutritional value in products made from white flour, they came up with the idea to enrich the flour. By enriched white flour or bread, what they meant was they poured chemical vitamins into the dough prior to baking. During the baking process at 350 degrees, unfortunately, all of the vitamins were killed with the intense heat. So anything that says enriched simply means that it has dead or inert vitamins mixed in with dead or inert white flour. If you just eliminated all white flour products from your diet and replaced them with fruits, vegetables, lean source proteins, and complex carbohydrates like whole wheat products, you would feel healthier, happier, and more energetic almost overnight. You would start to lose weight, sleep better, and enjoy better digestion. You would even think better and with greater clarity. The third key to high levels of health and energy is proper hydration. More and more studies are showing that just plain water is one of the greatest aids to good health that you can possibly consume. The rule is that you should drink 8 glasses of water each day, and more if you are working or working out. One recent study suggested that fully 70% of your health problems could be eliminated or greatly diminished simply by increasing your consumption of water. The average person, when they drink water, just takes a mouthful from a drinking fountain. But this is not for you. From now on, gorge yourself with water whenever you get the chance to have a drink. Instead of a few sips, drink a full glass. Instead of more coffee, which dehydrates you and increases your thirst, or more soft drinks, which have the same effect, drink more and more water. The good news is that when you continually flush your system with water, you also flush out an incredible number of impurities. The water removes extra salt from your system. Drinking lots of water flushes out alcohol, sugar, and other waste or byproducts that can build up in the normal process of digestion. There is a simple test to see if you're drinking enough water. It is that your urine should be clear or almost clear. The darker yellow your urine is, the more dehydrated you are. Dehydration causes fatigue, irritability, depression, nervousness, anxiety, short temper, and constipation. When you drink lots of water, you keep your system clear and clean. You increase your energy and even diminish your desire for food. The fourth key to high levels of health and energy, after proper diet, proper elimination of the white poisons, and proper hydration, is proper weight. Actually, slightly under your ideal weight, according to the health and weight charts, is better. The rule for getting to and maintaining your proper weight is very simple. It is contained in 5 words. They are, eat less and exercise more. This is easy to say, but hard to do. However, amongst all the thousands of diets that are available, and all the books and articles that come out every month and every year about diet, the bottom line is that if you want to manage your weight and look slim, trim, healthy, and attractive, you must eat less and exercise more. There is no other way. Sometimes people say that they are overweight because they have a glandular problem. Yes, that's true, but it is their mouth gland, and it is malfunctioning several times a day. I ran into a friend of mine who lost 30 pounds in less than a year. I asked him what his secret was, knowing that he had been overweight for many years. He said, "It was amazing. I found out that I never gained weight from anything that I didn't eat." Fully 35% of Americans today are overweight to the point of being obese. Other countries now refer to Americans as the species Porcus Americanus. Americans, on average, are the fattest people who have ever walked the earth. When people come from foreign countries to America, they are absolutely amazed at the incredible number of grossly overweight people. It doesn't exist anywhere else in the world, and it never has. Perhaps the best study on proper weight that I've ever seen concluded that people who are never overweight think about food and time differently from people who are constantly overweight. People who are overweight think only about the pleasure of eating at the moment of eating, and they give little or no thought to how they will look and feel afterwards. People, however, who are never overweight are very thoughtful about how they will think and feel after eating. As a result, people who maintain their proper weight think about how they will think and feel after eating while they are eating. Since they don't like the feeling of being full, and they definitely don't like the look of being fat, they bear those thoughts clearly in mind as they eat. As a result, they eat less and stop eating sooner. They put the brakes on themselves and on their own appetites. One simple technique that you can use to reduce the amount you eat on a regular basis is simply to use a smaller plate. When your appetite is satisfied, simply stop eating and either put the plate away or have it taken away so that there is no further temptation. Within 20 minutes, your physical apostat goes off and your appetite disappears. If you do this repeatedly, you soon develop a habit of eating smaller portions and only eating when you are hungry. The fifth key to high levels of health and energy is proper exercise. you need about 210 minutes of exercise per week to be in the top 10% of healthy, fit people in our society. This is about 30 minutes per day. You can get this exercise through regular walking, swimming, cycling, golf, tennis, and exercise equipment such as treadmills, life cycles, rowing machines, stair climbers, and best of all, the cross-country skiing machine. The best type of exercise is aerobic exercise. This is exercise where you get your heart rate up into your training zone for 20 or 30 minutes, 3 to 5 times per week. Perhaps one of the smartest and best things you ever do is to get a complete medical checkup and then go on a physical exercise program that you stay on for the rest of your life. You can even hire a personal trainer to get you started and keep you honest. Or you can join a health club. Remember, there's nothing more important to your life than maintaining high levels of health and fitness and living to be 80 or 90 years old. And the two goals go together like a hand in a glove. The sixth key to high levels of health and energy is proper vitamin and mineral supplements. There's a good deal of controversy about this subject, but the bottom line is that our diet today does not include a full spectrum of the vitamins, minerals, and associated nutrients that you need to enjoy high levels of energy and vitality. This is a subject that you may need to study, but the good news is that some of the very highest quality vitamin mineral supplements ever developed are available in the marketplace today at reasonable prices. And they're available through many of the excellent multi-level marketing companies that have produced them. My wife, my children, and myself have been taking vitamin and mineral supplements for many years. We are seldom ever sick. And most people I know who live long, healthy, happy lives take vitamin and mineral supplements as a regular part of their daily diets. And so should you. The seventh key to long life and health is proper rest and relaxation. You need 7 to 8 hours sleep per night to be fully rested. You need to give your body, your mind, your emotions time to recuperate. You need to recharge your batteries regularly, especially when you are really busy or overworked. The time that you most need time off is when you don't have any time to take time off. Think of your body as a machine that is designed to last 100 to 120 years with proper care and maintenance. Take good care of it. Feed your body the proper foods and nutrients. Drink lots of water. Exercise regularly. Rest and recuperate and give your body a chance to recharge on a regular basis. It's a wonderful investment that pays for itself over and over again, every minute, every hour, every day. The disciplines of positive health are like ripples in a pond. As you practice these disciplines and you form habits of good health, good nutrition, good exercise, and proper care of your body, they affect every other part of your life in a healthy way as well. Now, the 80% of your health and longevity that is determined by your mind, by your thinking, by your levels of stress and your ability to control stress can be broken down into six major categories. These are the six factors that cause virtually all of the unhappiness, stress, anxiety, uncertainty, frustration, and psychosomatic illness in life. When you learn to control these six factors, you'll be much happier, much more positive, much more optimistic, and more energetic than ever before. The first of these problems is simply a lack of direction. Psychologists tell us that a sense of control is the key to feeling good about ourselves. When you're unclear about what it is that you really want, your life tends to go around in circles. You lack that sense of meaning and purpose that is so essential to a happy life. On the other hand, when you develop a clear, specific sense of direction and you know exactly who you are and where you're going, you suddenly start to feel terrific about yourself and your life. The way you overcome a generalized lack of direction, which afflicts 80 to 90% of people, is by sitting down and writing out a set of clear, specific goals. You then make written plans for their accomplishment, and you work on your goals and plans every single day. With clear, written goals, you become a master of change rather than a victim of change. You become a creator of circumstances rather than a creature of circumstances. You take complete control over your life and your future, and you feel wonderful about yourself. Almost every unhappy person is unhappy because they really don't know who they are or what they want. But as soon as a person makes some clear decisions about their future and writes them down and begins working toward them on a daily basis, most of their unhappiness, stress, and other personal and physical problems clear up. The second cause of stress and unhappiness is called the incomplete action. Engaging in or being caught up in an incomplete action, or even observing an incomplete action that someone else is caught up in, is a real source of stress for most people. For instance, when you have a job to do and you procrastinate, or you have completed much of the job but not all of the job, it causes you stress. You are unconsciously programmed with an urge to completion, with a compulsion to closure. This is a deep-down subconscious desire to complete your transactions, to be finished with things so that you can get on with the next activity or stage of your life. But when you are caught betwixt and between, as they say, when you have partially completed something but not totally, you feel a deep-down sense of anxiety that can cause you headaches, depression, preoccupation, anger, irritation, and a whole host of negative emotions. We see this incomplete action when we have gotten out of a job or relationship, but it is still hanging on. We have not broken the bonds completely. We are out, but we are not out. We want to get on with the next stage of our lives, but we have not let go of the last stage. Perhaps the greatest cause of stress, anxiety, and physical illness is the inability to forgive others who have hurt us in some way. In fact, your ability to freely forgive other people and let them go is a measure of your mental health. It is said that forgiveness is the key to the spiritual kingdom. It is certainly the key to the release and freedom from old angers, old hurts, and old resentments. One of the great rules for health and happiness is for you to refuse to remain upset about something that cannot be changed. You must accept that to some degree you are responsible. Even if you did nothing in a particular situation, you are still responsible today for the way you respond or think about the situation. Make a decision today to forgive everyone in your past life who has hurt you or caused you pain in any way. Forgive your parents for every mistake they ever made in bringing you up. They weren't perfect. They did the best they could. Now forgive them and let them go. Forgive every other person who has ever hurt you, every ex-spouse, every bad relationship, every bad boss or person who has ever done anything unkind to you. Accept responsibility, put it behind you, and get on with the rest of your life. This is one of the most liberating and exhilarating decisions that you ever make. Finally, forgive yourself for every mistake that you've ever made. Forgive yourself for every dumb, senseless, wicked, brainless, cruel, and silly thing that you've ever said or done. Every one of us has done a lot of silly things in the course of our lifetimes. But you are not the same person today who made that silly mistake in the past. Remorse is one of the weakest and most useless of all human emotions. So forgive yourself, accept responsibility, and get on with the rest of your life. The third major cause of stress and anxiety is the fear of failure. It is the biggest single obstacle to success in adult life. It is the major cause of anxiety, stress, paralysis, excuses, procrastination, and failure to act when opportunities present themselves. Fear of failure creates a generalized anxiety that can really undermine your happiness. You overcome the fear of failure by doing the thing you fear. Make the habit throughout your life of facing your fears, of confronting your fears, of doing it anyway, even though you're afraid. This is the real mark of the superior person. Turn every temporary failure or setback into success by asking the two magic questions. First, ask, "What did I do right?" Think of everything that you did right in that particular situation. Write it down and realize that you probably did more right things than wrong things, no matter how it turned out. Then, ask yourself the second magic question, what would I do differently next time? Think about and make a list of everything you would improve if you had to do it again. Keep your mind focused on the positive aspects of your next experience. Keep your mind focused on the future, on the solution rather than on the problem. This keeps you positive, creative, and forward-oriented. This enables you to extract every possible lesson out of every possible difficult situation. This keeps you in the fast lane in your life and in your career. The fourth major cause of stress and anxiety, of happiness and negative emotions, of psychosomatic illness and shortened life, is the fear of rejection. This fear of rejection, or fear of criticism and disapproval of others, originates in early childhood, when we are so dependent on the love and affection of our parents for feelings of safety and security. If you were brought up with parents who used destructive criticism on you during your childhood, you may find yourself sensitive or even hypersensitive as an adult. You may find yourself constantly worried about what other people say or think. This can lead to paralysis and to your turning aside from great possibilities and opportunities because you're afraid of someone's disapproval. You may be afraid of embarrassment or ridicule. For example, most people place the fear of public speaking ahead of the fear of death among life's major fears. Why is this? It's because when they spoke up as a child, they were criticized, punished, or told to shut up. At a very early age, they gained a deep-down fear of expressing themselves in front of others. This can actually last throughout a person's lifetime. Imagine what goals would you set for yourself and what great things would you do if you didn't care about anybody else's opinion. If you had no fear of failure and no fear of criticism, what would you do differently in your life? Don't allow yourself to be held back by your concerns about what others might think about you. The fact is that nobody is really thinking about you at all. Even your relatives and your best friends think more about themselves and what they're going to have for lunch today than they think about your entire life. Don't hold yourself back from doing or becoming something wonderful because someone else might disapprove. Remember the wonderful observation, the people who matter won't care, and the people who care don't matter. The good news is that when you ignore the potential criticism of others and just do it anyway, when you eventually become successful, as you surely will, they will all turn around and tell you that they were always behind you 100% of the way. They will even take credit for your success and brag to others that it was their encouragement and support that enabled you to succeed in the first place. The fifth major cause of stress, anxiety, and psychosomatic illness is the psychological phenomenon of denial. Denial is the root source of most mental and physical illness. Denial is the refusal to face some unpleasant reality, some unpleasant fact of your life. You experience denial when you refuse to face the fact that you're in a bad relationship, or that you don't like your job or your boss, or that you've made a bad investment or bad choice or a bad decision of any kind. When you practice denial, you use all the psychological mechanisms of the textbooks. You practice suppression, repression, transference, rationalization, justification, and projection to ignore, evade, and avoid the unpleasant reality in your life. The great rule for success is for you to cut your losses when you find yourself in a situation that makes you really unhappy for any reason. Face the fact that you are not perfect. Accept the fact that you made a mistake. You got into a bad situation. If you had to do it over again, you wouldn't do it. To achieve your own peace of mind, whenever you feel unhappy about your life and you're not sure what it is, simply ask yourself this question: what is it in my life that I'm not facing? Then ask yourself, what is the worst it could possibly be? You almost invariably know what it is if you'll just have the honesty and the courage to face it. Then, whatever it is that's making you unhappy, resolve to deal with it straightforwardly. You're going to have to deal with it sooner or later. You might as well deal with it sooner and save yourself the time, trouble, and anxiety that it's going to cause you between now and when it's resolved. Remember, every large problem in your life was once a small problem and could have been solved easily at that time. Like a brush fire, it could have been put out at the beginning as soon as it began. Left to itself, however, it can spread in all directions and eventually have a negative effect on your entire life. So, What is it in your life that you're not facing? Sit down quietly and listen to your inner voice. Identify it clearly, whatever it is, and then have the courage and resolution to go and deal with it. This one decision can change your entire life. The final cause of stress and anxiety, number 6, is anger. All negative emotions ultimately express themselves in anger in some way. They express themselves in anger that is outwardly directed at other people, which poisons your friendships and relationships, or they express themselves in anger that is inwardly directed at yourself, making yourself physically and mentally ill. Anger is caused by fear or hurt of some kind. It is caused by a feeling that you are being attacked or aggressed upon. Anger is triggered when you feel that you are being taken advantage of, or being used or treated unfairly and unjustly. Anger is triggered by feelings of frustration when what happens is not what you expected, and especially if you have a specific set of expectations from that person in that particular area. Your ability to cope with anger, to deal with anger, to eliminate and to control anger is the key to your own mental and physical well-being. There are many books and articles that have been written on the subject of anger, but the simplest and most powerful antidote to anger that I have found is for you to resolve in advance that whatever happens, you won't become upset about it. When a situation occurs that triggers your anger for any reason, it's usually too late for you to block the expression of anger in some way. The key to dealing with it effectively is for you to decide in advance that no matter what happens, you will not become upset or angry for any reason. When you feel like expressing a negative emotion, instead find reasons not to express it. Make a game of finding something good in the situation. Say something to yourself like, "Well, what cannot be cured must be endured." Look for the valuable lesson in a situation that causes you to become angry for any reason. Think about the future and think about what you might do next time when the situation comes up. Most of all, instead of becoming angry or upset, look for the solution to the problem or difficulty and keep your mind and your emotions on the solution and off of the problem itself. The very best technique in psychology for keeping calm, cool, positive, and effective is called the cognitive control method. This involves your using your mind to control your emotions. This is the characteristic and quality of the very best people in our society and throughout all time. They have developed the self-control, self-mastery, and self-discipline to use their minds to decide how they will think and react. Their emotions are not in the driver's seat. Their minds and their intellects are in charge of their lives. This is the way it should be. As we have said over and over again, you become what you think about most of the time. Your job is to decide in advance exactly what you want to become and how you will have to think in order to make that a reality. Then you discipline yourself to think and talk about the things you want and in the way that you want to, in the way that is consistent with your very highest good and your desired outcome. When you take complete control over your mental and physical habits of thought and action, you take complete control over your life and your future. You virtually guarantee that you will have a wonderful, healthy, happy, vibrant life, and that you will live to a ripe old age. What could be better than that? Everything in life is relationships. 85% of everything that you accomplish, everything that you become, all your hopes and dreams and achievements will be determined by your relationships, by how well you get along with other people. There's a basic rule of success that says, your success will be in direct proportion to the number of people you know and who know you in a favorable way. The most successful people in any field are those who know the most people in that field and who are known in a positive way to the most other people. The very fact that somebody knows you or that you know someone else makes it much more likely that you will do things with that person and work together for mutual benefit. You cannot know too many people, and you cannot know too many people in an excellent way. you will find over time that you are often doing business and interacting with people for 10, 20, and even 30 years on the basis of the quality of the relationships you have established with them. When you look back over your past, you will find that it was the high-quality relationships that were responsible for most of your success and happiness in life. It was the low-quality relationships, for whatever reason, that were the cause of most of your problems, most of your unhappiness, and both financial and emotional losses. In Selling Today, as Theodore Levitt of the Harvard Business School said, everything is relationships. All sales are based on relationships. All selling is relationship selling. The building and maintaining of high-quality business relationships is the foundation upon which a business or career is built. I'm working today with people in deals involving hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars with whom I've been associated for as long as 25 years. These relationships, business deals, and business opportunities go around and around like a merry-go-round in life. Everything you do seems to come back to you in some way, very much as the law of sowing and reaping would predict. As they say, what goes around comes around. In sales and in business, the level of trust that your customers, your colleagues, and your coworkers have in you will largely determine how much you earn, how far you go, and how fast you're promoted. The keys to great success in life are explained by words like acceleration, leverage, multiplication, return on energy, economic or market value added, and return on investment. Every one of these concepts is directly applicable to the relationships you build and maintain throughout your lifetime. The more and better people you know, the better reputation you have for both integrity and quality work, the more rapidly you will move towards your goals. The greater leverage you will have in your business activities involving others, the easier it will be for you to multiply yourself times the ideas, knowledge, energy, and money of others. The more and better people who know you and trust you, the greater return you will get on the mental, emotional, and physical energy you invest in your life and in your relationships. You will get a higher return on the investment of your time and money, and you will have more and better opportunities to invest them. Perhaps the greatest economic and market value you can bring to any situation is your complex network of relationships with other skilled and talented people whose energies you can bring to bear to accomplish a goal for which others will pay. In Thomas Stewart's book, Intellectual Capital, he talks about the three forms of intellectual capital that a person can possess in business. The first is a general level of knowledge and skill, a foundation of core competencies that enable a person to read, write, speak, make presentations, and generally do the job they're hired to do. The second form of intellectual capital is knowledge of the company's products, processes, systems, and methods of doing business in the marketplace. This is sometimes the most valuable asset that a company has, their knowledge of how to do their business better than their competitors. But the third form of intellectual capital, perhaps the most valuable, is the specific knowledge of the people and personalities, both inside and outside the company, especially the primary customers and suppliers of the company that make a person so valuable. Every single person who is highly respected and doing well in an organization has developed their intellectual capital to a high point, especially their intimate knowledge of the specific individuals in the world in and around the business whose decisions and actions can have a major effect on the success of the business. Many companies today will pay a person more money rather than lose them just because that person has intellectual capital that the business would find very expensive to replace if that person were lost. The most important intellectual capital you have is always contained in the quality, quantity, and depth of the relationships that you develop with the key people who can have an effect on your life and on your business. Your job is to continually grow this number of relationships and then invest regularly in keeping these relationships alive and increasing in value. There have been a number of studies on what are called Machiavellians in management. These are people who are extremely adept politically. They play one person against another. They are always looking for an angle. They are usually too clever by half. They attempt to move up, not by excellent performance and good teamwork, but by playing games and taking credit for the work of others. The studies on these types of people are both interesting and conclusive. They show that the game players in every organization do tend to move up faster initially in their careers. They tend to be promoted faster and paid more at an earlier stage than the solid people who are focusing on doing a good job. But the career curve of the Machiavellians is different. It shows that they rise quickly and then they flatten out in their careers, and then they begin to decline. At a certain point, everyone eventually knows them for who they are, people who can talk and manipulate well, but who are not particularly good at doing their jobs. When the company or the economy changes, they are the first people who are laid off or fired. On the other hand, the solid people, like yourself, the ones who do a good job and who work well with others on a regular basis, may rise a little bit slower than the Machiavellians initially, but they rise steadily. At each stage of their careers, they build a network of people below them, around them, and above them who want them to succeed. These people help them and support them and do everything possible to open doors for them. The people they have worked with as they move up form a solid foundation, and they help them to continue their climb. Their co-workers and colleagues help them as well, and especially their superiors are pulling them up from the top because they recognize that these are the people who can make the greatest long-term contribution to the organization. We said before that the most important determinant of financial success is your ability to create wealth and add value. It is your ability to make a valuable contribution wherever you are. When you focus all of your energies on getting results, on making the most important contribution you possibly can, and simultaneously working well with other people, you will put yourself onto an upward escalator that moves you steadily and predictably higher and higher. One of the keys to great success in your field, to accelerating your progress and leveraging your talents, is for you to network with other valuable people in your field. I have spoken at countless meetings for organizations and associations over the years. In every case, it is the best and most important people in the industry who are at the meetings. The average or mediocre people always have a reason or an excuse not to go. They are always too busy or they can't afford it. But the best people are always there. The best people are always up front, taking notes and interacting with the speakers and the other best people. The best people are always involved in the various committees that exist in every voluntary association. They're always looking for ways to make a contribution and to help others to be more successful. When you join an association of any kind, don't merely attend the meetings and sit in the audience. Instead, offer to help. Take a look at the various committees and look at the people who sit on those committees. Select a committee, or more than one committee, that has people on it that you would like to get to know and who should get to know you. Then, volunteer for service on that committee. When you get on to the committee, which is not hard to do, throw your whole heart into voluntary activities and to helping that committee achieve its goals for the organization. There's no faster way for you to bring yourself to the attention of the key people in your industry than by performing on a voluntary committee where people are functioning very much as equals. You see, no one has any control or authority over anyone else because everyone is a volunteer. This enables you to deal on the same level with people who may be far beyond you in terms of rank and position in their own companies. The business author John Cotter wrote a book some years ago called Power and Influence Beyond Formal Authority. After years of research, he determined that the most powerful and influential people in any group are the people who can call on the greatest number of other people for favors. He said that power and influence did not come from having a position and having subordinates to whom you could give orders. True power and influence, he found, came from being able to call on people over whom you had no control at all. What he found was that the most powerful and influential people in any community or association were the ones who had gone out of their way to do the greatest number of favors for other people. They were willing to sow before reaping, knowing that since this is a natural law, the reaping would flow naturally in the fullness of time. And it always did. The more you give of yourself with no expectation of return, the more that it will come back to you in the most unexpected ways. The great rule of success in business is that your success will be in direct proportion to what you do after you do what you're expected to do. If all you ever do is what you're expected to do, all you'll ever get is what you're getting today. Truly successful people are always doing more than is expected of them. They are always going the extra mile. They're always doing more than they're paid for. They're always looking for ways to put more in, knowing that the harvest, the getting out, will take care of itself. Service to others is the integrating principle that explains all of life. Everything we do in our lives is associated somehow with serving other people in some way. You are always paid in direct proportion to the value of your service to others. If you want to increase your rewards, you must increase the value of your service to other people. One of the most important things you do in your career is to identify your most important customers. Your most important customers are the people whose actions can have a positive or negative effect on your goals, on your happiness, on your financial and non-financial rewards. Everyone in your life is a customer in some way. The members of your family are your customers. If you don't give them a minimum level of attention and satisfaction and occasional moments of delight, you are going to have serious problems in your family life. Your boss is your primary customer at work. His level of happiness or unhappiness with you largely determines your success or failure in your career. Your co-workers and colleagues, the people who depend on you and on whom you depend, are also your customers. Their support or withdrawal of support can have a major impact on how far you go and how fast you rise. If you're a manager, your staff members, your employees, are key customers. The very best managers and the very best companies are those who treat the employees exactly the way they want the employees to treat the customers. You can always tell a good company by the way the people treat you when you deal with that company. You can always tell a company that is in trouble when you receive poor service from the staff. In every case, the active support or passive resistance of your staff can make or break you as a manager. And this happens to and for managers every single day. The good news is that because you are a person as well, you have inside information on how to build and maintain high-quality relationships with other people. All you have to do is treat others the way you would like to be treated, the golden rule. Now, there may be a better principle for happy, harmonious human relationships, but it has not yet been found. It is simply and always do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I said earlier that the most important single determinant of happiness, optimism, and a positive mental attitude is your level of self-esteem. It is how much you like yourself. How much you like yourself determines how much you like others and how much they like you. The more you like yourself, the better you do. And the better you do, the more you like yourself. Everyone else is just the same. Their level of health and happiness is determined by how much they like themselves. And how much they like you is determined by how much you make them feel valuable. Every time you do or say anything to another or about another that raises their self-esteem, you increase the quality of their personality, the depth of their loyalty, and their likelihood of working cooperatively with you to achieve your mutual goals. Mary Kay Ash, the founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics, the largest single employer of women earning more than $50,000 a year, summed up her philosophy toward life and business in a single principle. She said that everyone you meet has a sign around their neck that says, "Make me feel important." Whoever you speak to, and under any circumstances, look for ways to answer their basic request, "Make me feel important." The key to great relationships is just that, make others feel important. And the good news is that everything you do to make others feel important and valuable causes you to feel important and valuable yourself. Every time you raise someone else's self-esteem, your own self-esteem goes up as well. Unfortunately, the opposite is also true. Every time you do or say anything that hurts somebody else in any way that lowers their self-esteem, it hurts you and lowers your self-esteem. The law of sowing and reaping is unavoidable. You always get back what you put out. So, be careful. There are 7 steps, 7 behaviors that you can engage in to raise the self-esteem of other people, to improve your relationships, to increase others' propensity to cooperate with you, and to put your life and career into the fast lane. The first behavior, which begins with an A, is acceptance. Psychologists have shown that the very first thing that takes place when two people meet is that they express acceptance or non-acceptance of each other. Until a level of acceptance is established, like two dogs sniffing at each other, conversation is limited and a personal relationship does not develop. And how do you express acceptance of another? Simple. You smile whenever you meet or greet a person, either for the first time or for the 100th time. It takes 30 facial muscles to frown, but only 13 facial muscles to smile. When you smile, you actually trigger endorphins in your brain and create a feeling of well-being in your body. When you smile at another person, you make them feel important. You make them feel accepted and attractive. When you smile at another person, their self-esteem and sense of personal value goes up. A deep, genuine, warm smile actually affects people at an unconscious level. Children are especially affected by warm, loving smiles accompanied by direct eye contact and complete focus. When you look into the eyes of a child or someone you care about and tell them that you love them, with a warm smile on your face and a kind look in your eyes, they will often feel it throughout their entire bodies. When people meet and fall in love for the first time, they look at each other and smile all the time as an expression of love. We are conditioned from infancy to respond in a very positive way when someone looks directly at us and smiles. Be sure that you smile at others on every occasion. You've heard it said that if you meet a person without a smile, give them one of yours. The second behavior, which also starts with an A, is appreciation. Develop an attitude of gratitude toward all the good things in your life. The rule is that the more things that you are grateful for, the more things you will have to be grateful for. Perhaps the greatest cause of sorrow and unhappiness is ingratitude for your life, for the things that others do for you, for the simple joys and pleasures of each day. The healthiest and happiest people are people who seem to have a generalized attitude of gratitude toward the good things in their life, and they ignore most of the other things. And how do you express gratitude? You use the words thank you on a regular basis. The words thank you are some of the most powerful words in any language. I have traveled in more than 80 countries, and the very first words I ever learned going across the border were the words please and thank you. Say thank you to everyone for anything they do for you, large and small. The words thank you are the hallmark of the truly pleasant, kindly, courteous, and gracious human being. As Thomas Carlyle wrote, you can tell big people by the way they treat little people. Say thank you to everyone you deal with every day. Say thank you for everything that anyone in your company ever does for you. Say thank you to your customers when they agree to speak with you or meet with you. Say thank you when they buy from you. Say thank you to people, even people who work for you and who provide you with services for which you pay. Sometimes a sincere expression of gratitude is worth as much, if not more, than the money. Every time you say thank you, you feel better about yourself, and you make the other person feel better about himself or herself. Every time you say thank you, you feel positive, optimistic, and friendly. The combination of smiling and saying thank you for both large and small actions makes you a far more likable and pleasant person. The third behavior, starting with an A, is admiration. Continually look for ways to express your admiration of the qualities, possessions, or accomplishments of other people. Remember, everything that a person has in their life, they have usually invested time and emotion in either becoming or acquiring. When you recognize what they have achieved and admire them for it, their self-esteem goes straight up. They feel more important and valuable. They like themselves more, and they like you more as a result of your noticing it. Admire people for their qualities, for their punctuality, their dependability, their cheerfulness, persistence, courage, intelligence, or creativity. If you want to have a marvelous impact on your children or your family, constantly point out how much you admire their expressions of any quality that is worthwhile. When my children paint a picture, for example, I always make a big deal about how creative they are. When they get a good grade, I make a big thing about how intelligent they are. When they help out at home, I mention in a loud voice how helpful and how good they are. Does this have an impact on the way they think about themselves and an impact on their future behaviors? You bet it does. Admire people's possessions, both at home and at the office. Admire their trophies, their diplomas, their certificates, their pictures of members of their family. When you go to a person's home, admire not only the home, but the furniture, the artwork, the layout, the garden, the carpet, the kitchen, and everything else that you genuinely respect. People always feel flattered and happy when people notice things that they have taken a good deal of time to acquire and locate or place in their home or office. Especially admire people's accomplishments. Admire their prizes, their sales, their new homes, any accomplishment that they have made or have achieved that has required a certain amount of time, energy, and determination. Remember, one of the primary reasons that people accomplish anything is so that they will earn the admiration and respect of others. When you give this admiration and respect openly and generously, people feel wonderful about themselves and wonderful about you at the same time. The fourth behavior, or fourth A, is approval. Approval, or praise, is perhaps the best and fastest self-esteem-building behavior you can practice. In fact, one of the definitions of self-esteem is the degree to which a person feels praiseworthy. Young children praised by their teachers or parents demonstrate an immediate increase in energy and happiness. Praise to people is like sunshine and rain to flowers. It causes them to grow and bloom. Praise causes people to feel important and valuable. Praise causes people's self-esteem to immediately increase. They like themselves more, virtually instantaneously, and they automatically like you more as well. The keys to giving effective praise are simple. First of all, praise for both small and large efforts. Praise for achievement as well as for efforts that may not have been successful but which were well executed. Praise in public, in front of other people whenever possible. Praise delivered in front of others has twice the impact of praise delivered in private. Accompany praise with rewards whenever you can. These rewards can be tangible, such as money or gifts or prizes, or they can be intangible, such as a larger desk or office, additional training, or additional responsibilities, and even time off. Praise accompanied by rewards multiplies the impact of the words and has an even more powerful positive impact on the person's self-esteem and sense of personal value. Another key to praise is to praise immediately, rather than waiting a day, a week, or a month after the event. The more immediate the praise, the more impact it has on the person's personality and behavior. Praise specifically. Rather than saying, "You are doing a great job," say instead, "You did an excellent job on that report that we sent out to the ABC company yesterday." The more specific your praise, the more likely it is that the person will do more of the specific things you praise them for. Another key is to praise continuously, especially when you want a person to develop a good habit. Praise them every single time they do something well, until, like the Pavlovian experiment with the dog, whenever they think of the activity, they do it well automatically, because they associate the successful activity with praise and approval and feeling good about themselves as a result. Combine your praise with smiling, gratitude, and admiration, and you'll be amazed at the positive effect you have on other people. The fifth A stands for attention, and this is one of the most powerful behaviors for building high performance in other people. By attention, of course, we mean listening. Listening intently to other people brings trust faster and more predictably than any other behavior. Listening has such a positive effect on the self-esteem of other people that it has often been called white magic. There are four keys to excellent listening. First, listen attentively. Listen without interruptions. Face the person directly. Lean forward, nod, smile, and agree. Listen as though you had all the time in the world and that what the other person is saying is totally fascinating. Make no effort or motion to interrupt what the person is saying. There's nothing more flattering than being listened to attentively by another person. And there is nothing that builds higher levels of trust and self-esteem than the fact that someone listens to you very carefully and intently. The second key to listening is for you to pause before replying. When the person finishes talking or hesitates, wait 3 to 5 seconds before you say anything. Often the other person is just organizing their thoughts. When you pause before replying, you actually hear the other person better. What they have just said soaks into a deeper level of your mind, and you actually get the message that is between the lines. Remember, only 7% of the message that another person is trying to convey to you is captured in the words. The other 93% is in the tone of voice and the body language. When you pause before replying, you get the total message rather than just the superficial part of the message contained in the words. The third key to effective listening is for you to question for clarification. Never assume that you know what the other person really means or is trying to say. Instead, when the other person stops talking, pause and then ask, "How do you mean?" This question, "How do you mean?" is the all-purpose reply to virtually anything that another person could say. It is also impossible not to answer. When you ask, "How do you mean?" the other person will almost invariably answer you with an extended version of what they have just said. Remember, the person who asks questions has control. When you listen attentively, pause before replying, and then question for clarification, not only do you build high levels of rapport and trust, but you largely control the conversation. You assure that you fully understand what the other person is really saying before you reply. The fourth key to excellent listening, to the behavior of attention, is for you to feedback what the person has just said in your own words. Paraphrase their thoughts and reflect them back as accurately as you can. Say something like, "Well, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. According to what you just said, you want more of this and less of that, and you're concerned about this. Is that correct?" It is only when the other person can reply and say, "Yes, that's it, you got it," that you can make an intelligent and timely reply. Even when a person is being disagreeable, practice your listening skills. If someone is upset with you for any reason, practice listening. Instead of replying or defending, instead you listen intently, pause and carefully consider before replying, question for clarification by saying, "How do you mean?" and then paraphrase it in your own words to assure the other person that you really understand what they're trying to say. The sixth behavior, which also starts with an A, that is essential for building high-quality relationships, is for you to be agreeable. Never tell a person that he or she is wrong. Be open, accepting, and agreeable, no matter what the other person says. Refuse to argue or dispute the other person's position. Just be agreeable. Most issues are not that important, so if you can, just let it go. Whenever you disagree with another person, you are telling that other person that he or she is wrong. You make them feel angry or defensive. If you tell a person that their point of view or opinion is wrong, you are implying that they are wrong as a person. This immediately kicks the chair out from under their self-esteem. Since everything we do in life is either to protect our self-esteem or to enhance it, when you threaten a person's self-esteem, they will often react badly. Many friendships and relationships have been undermined and even destroyed by this suggestion from one person to another that the individual is wrong. From then on, the person is more concerned about being right than anything else. Ego is a terrible thing. Once you get your ego involved, or you get the ego of someone else involved, it's like a brush fire that can very quickly get out of control. And by disagreeing with others and telling them that they are wrong, you almost always trigger a negative response. So, just be an agreeable kind of person. Finally, the seventh behavior is for you to be positive in every situation. Refuse to criticize, condemn, or complain. Instead, be cheerful. Be kindly, friendly, and open. Practice the skills of optimism. Whenever something goes wrong, look for the good. Look for the valuable lesson in every setback or obstacle. Think about the future and where you're going, rather than the difficult situation and where you've been. Above all, get your mind focused on the solution. This instantly enables you to take emotional control over yourself and the situation. You cannot think and talk about solutions to a particular problem without becoming more positive and creative. And the more you think about solutions, the more solutions you find and the faster you find them. Become an expert in relationship management. Ask yourself regularly, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Imagine that relationships in life are flowers and you are a gardener. Continually go through your garden of life collecting more flowers, more relationships in everything you do. Simultaneously, continue to nurture the relationships that you have. All your happiness, all your success, everything you accomplish in life, both personally and in your business, will be determined by the quality and quantity of relationships that you build and maintain. Keep adding to them every day. Let me conclude with this final point. You are living today in the best time, in the best place in all of human history. And you are one of the best people, with an incredible amount of talent, ability, creativity, and intelligence that you can tap into and develop to accomplish anything you really want in life. Remember, your very best days, your very best weeks, your very best months and years lie ahead of you. Your happiest experiences are yet to come. Your greatest accomplishments lie in the future. Your happiest moments are yet to be experienced. You are living in the golden age of mankind, and there are no limits to what you can accomplish if you will just practice the ideas you have learned in this program over and over again until you make them a part of your life. Decide today exactly what you want. Write it down, make a plan, and work on it every day. Remember that everything in life is a test. And the only question you ask when you face any problem or difficulty, or when you set any goal for yourself, is the question, how? And failure is not an option. This is Brian Tracy, and thank you for listening.